Hey, top of the day. This is behavioral scientist Tanola Oliver. This is the Making of the Mogul radio show, where the dream is free, but the hustle is so separately. So I'm touching base today to bring some redress to a post that I made a few days ago. I talked about the plug versus the anointing, right? I said some people had a plug, while some people have the talent, the ability, and the anointing to heal the public. That is exactly what I meant. But here's the thing, is both of them have a necessity in society. I'm not saying that people that have the plug have no less value to society, right? What I'm saying is there is a space, right, in the arts, culture, entertainment, world that has to have people that are anointed to do what they do, because they heal, they set free, and it is the flow of what they were anointed to do in this world. I think Curtis 50 Cent Jackson is one of those. I also believe Spike Lee was one of those. I'm not taking away from people I'm not taking away from other people when I say that Joey Badass is anointed, right, for this type of work, and that I believe that this particular scene and setting and this particular season, right, of raising Canaan is healing Black women. I think that that's important. I think it's okay to be able to, and I said this about Deion Sanders, it's okay to be able to compliment one person without saying, what about this person, right? All of us, we're like snowflakes. No two of us have any of the exact same DNA. So all of us have a purpose, right? The purpose is to find the vein that you're supposed to be operating in, and to do it to its maximum and optimum capacity, right? I feel like Joey Badass has a rack in his life in real life, right? Either he has a rack in his life in real life, or he is observing in some other form of art, a rack, and he is connecting to this particular scene in this setting at another level. I think it's okay to be able to compliment him and say that, right? Without thinking I'm taking away from the value of any of the other actors in the Power franchise. I think that Curtis Jackson and his team, media mogul Curtis Jackson and his team, have done an amazing achievement at the way that they have selected all of the actors and actresses to play in the various Power franchises. I think they've done an amazing job at that. I apologize. I'm eating my breakfast as well this morning. Just so happens, this particular scene and setting, I'm speaking from a perspective of an African-American woman, right, that has had some hurdles in life, right? I can connect with Rack, right? I think they're healing some Black women right now. And I don't hear any African-American women disagreeing with that. I just hear people saying, well, what about this person from this particular Power franchise, or this actor from this particular Power franchise? I'm not taking away from any of them. What I'm saying is we need this moment right now between Rack and Joey. Why am I calling her Rack? What is her real name? I can't think of her real name. I am so sorry. She has one of them names like Tanola. Like, if you don't say it a lot of times, you have some difficulty remembering it. But Rack and His character is not Joey Badass on the show. Hold on. Let me find her name so that I can refer to them both either as characters or as individuals. One moment. Mm-mm-mm. Yes, here we are. Patina Miller. Patina. So Joey Badass and Patina. As Unique and Rack, right? So those are the people that I'm talking about right now. And I think it's okay for me to be able to isolate their acting ability, right? And to bring some redress to it and talk about it. I think all of the other characterizations and the picking and the choosing of who they chose to play the various roles and all of the Power franchises has been amazing. So as someone who is in the arts, right? Someone has been on the stage as an actress, a dancer, a comedian, someone who writes, someone who paints, right? Someone who has played an instrument. There are some artists that you can see perform and it inspires you to go do something, right? I was working on a painting after I seen that scene between Patina and Joey Badass, AKA Rack and Unique. I blacked out the canvas and I started over, right? I didn't like what I was painting to begin with. I was somewhat forcing it because I knew I needed to add another painting to the collection for the Black Barbie and Ken collection. So I was forcing the next piece, but I wasn't really feeling it. I wasn't flowing in any type of inspiration. After I seen that particular scene, I blacked out the canvas. I started over. I felt like I was inspired, right, to really do a piece for Black Barbie and Black Ken versus me forcing it. Very few times do I sit down as it relates to art and force myself, right? I usually have to pull from some sort of inspiration. And that did that for me. That's the thing about directors, right? When they have people audition. As somebody, most directors have been on the stage at some point in time. And what I'm telling you as a performer, I know the difference between when I'm performing for the sake of performing and when there is some type of catalytic something that takes place on stage that transforms the moment into a space that moves the audience, right? Like you as a performer, you feel that, right? And so the purpose of directors, when they have people audition, is because they want to see the people that's going to body it. You know what I'm saying? You know that slang term, we like, oh, he or she bodied that, right? Like there are some people that step into a space, right? And perform and they body it. Like they embody it in such a way that it's believable at a different level and it moves people, right? And it moves society forward. And it changes the trajectory of how you see the characterization and the personification of that particular character. I think the Power franchise does that in its totality, right? I've been talking about how I feel the genius of Curtis 50 Cent Jackson is to bring awareness and allow certain segments and demographics of people to be able to view parts of society that don't necessarily have the ability to be seen. What does that do? It brings, it bridges various people and demographics of people in society that naturally lives would not touch one another. but it is the arts of seeing, right, on the big screen that allow people to be able to peer into some of the lives of some of the situations that technically they may not necessarily be able to have access to on a day-to-day basis because they're not involved in that particular culture. Now, the dangerous part is that to make it entertaining, a lot of times it has embellishments, which are lies at some point, right? That's the danger of it. But to some degree, art has to contain a lie or an embellishment in order for people, it's one thing for it to be real, but sometimes in order for it to be entertaining, it has to have an embellishment and a lie within it. Me, as a person that acts, does comedy, writes from a biblical perspective, I'm a lot more conscious of how I handle the characterization of people and the plots and climaxes and how we see the events of people's day-to-day lives unfold, because some people have difficulty separating art from real life, right? But my original point, directors typically have this heightened sense of awareness to know which actresses and actors have the ability to carry the narrative and the storyline in such a way that it transforms society, right? And all I'm saying is that during this particular season, right, we've watched the progression of the relationship. It wasn't rushed. They made it organic. We watched the connection between Rack and Unique. And we're seeing it organically play out in life as if it was real life. And the characterization of Unique stepping into Rack's life and pulling her femininity out and tapping into her softer side as a male, counterpart, and as a masculine, bringing his masculinity into her life to expose her softer and her feminine side. We need that. Black women need that. Society needs to see that. And I think it is the genius of the writing, the choosing of the various actors and actresses that bring that to life for us, right? That's all I was saying about that. The other thing that I want to talk about, I talked about shaping narratives, right? It is important when we tell stories, and I talked about how Jewish people, because their religion is so indoctrinated within them, right? Because Jewish people are people of Jewish faith, right? It's indoctrinated in them. They're raised with it. They understand what the what the do's and don'ts happen to be for their culture, and to continue to progress their culture, and to see people financially progress and to reach their maximum level of optimization as a Jewish community. That's something that I feel that the Black community has lacked for various reasons. And we've learned how to shape the narrative of our stories based on what we've been watching, right? We are not indoctrinated with any specific religion within the Black culture, and we're not indoctrinated with any specific set of do's and don'ts, right? We have a lot of various doctrine within the African-American community and different ways of how we feel we should do things. Even if you just look at the Christian faith, right? We have multiple dominations within the Christian faith. And so we all don't even agree how we do church and how we do the higher power within Christendom, right? And so I think that has been a hiccup in how we tell our stories, right? And how the people who feel financially empowered to tell our stories shape those narratives. And that is the difference between why you don't see people from the Jewish faith telling stories consistently about the Holocaust as you do with African-American influential people insisting on telling stories about slavery. Because it has been indoctrined within the Jewish faith that they don't believe in empowering the oppressor that existed during the Holocaust. And that's indoctrinated within them, within their faith. We've missed that part because we don't necessarily have, I think we can say a lot of African Americans happen to be Christians. However, when we look at and examine a lot of the various denominations, we still don't all believe the same thing, right? And I think that that is where the hiccups lie within the African American community about the things that we're willing to do to one another behind the scenes, right? That you would never see the people of Jewish faith do to another Jewish person. That's a separate conversation. But as we talk about arts and entertainment, I think that we are, and I think that my foundation and my work in society for the past, what has it been, for the past 3 to 5 years, have contributed to this point in me being able to build the confidence in society. And I'm not just talking about Black people in society, but confidence in society just as a whole. And being able to step to this platform and say, we've been taught narratives that don't agree with our higher sense of self as African Americans. And we will see the changing of the trajectory of how people, how Black people have the ability to integrate into the higher classes in society when we stop putting certain narratives out there about African Americans. It is beyond a shadow of a doubt the way that we have been depicted throughout history based on who has taught us how to tell the stories of history, which is why there is no coincidence that now there is a thing about banning books, right? And the purpose of banning books, right? We're supposed to live in a society where we have the Fifth Amendment, where we have the freedom of speech, right? But they're now saying that if you say something that is contrary to what has been written up to this point in history, we're going to ban your books from the libraries, right? And that people can only have the ability to order this particular literary work if they order it directly through you, right? That is because the narrative is changing, right? That is because historians, people such as myself, have empowered ourselves and empowered the people of African-American culture to begin to see the lens and the perspective of the story that we should tell, that should be passed down through generations in a perspective that allows us to have our dignity and to be a respectable individual in society, right? And that we're no longer going to highlight the value of the anomaly of events that took place. Now, am I saying that absolutely, chattel slavery is not an anomaly, right? It lasted for too many years and it was too impactful to be an anomaly. But what I'm saying is, let's tell the stories that highlight the intelligence and the surviving skills and the dignity of the African American people, just like the Jewish people choose to tell the stories and to shape the narratives that allowed them to be able to rise to statuses in society where they have their dignity and ability to do business without people trying to point to any type of negative personification within the Jewish people. I personally have had experience with people trying to take small anomalies of my life, right, and make it the center stage in order to embellish themselves, right, and to smother, right, what I was sent into this earth to do. And because they felt some type of way about what I do overshadowing what they do, because they didn't bring an authentic part of themselves to the table, that they embellished their stories, that it was their intent to suppress what I was supposed to, my effectiveness in the earth. And those, not only are those narratives a lie, and the people who want to carry those narratives, people who lack integrity, but it is also a testament to how far people are willing to go to carry a lie, right? To continue to try and suppress a movement or to oppress the opening of the psychological mind as to how we see each other and how we see ourselves in relation to others. The good news is that the blood that runs in my veins, right? Most people know that I am a McClurkin, and the blood that runs through my veins is that of a strong people who were highly intelligent and highly innovative and have changed the trajectory of history, right? And so I've been able to survive, not only because of my DNA, but also because of my faith. And that is why it was so important for me to write Outliers, because I could see myself, see my brothers, and see men that I love, including my son, in the characterization and the narrative of the life of Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. He too, right, is a not just a survivor, but somebody who was determined to win despite the intentional, right? That's the thing. The intentional evilness of people who wanted to suppress his brand and what he was anointed to do in arts and entertainment, which is a mountain, right? And he now is about to step into the personification of Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry owns a part of Hollywood, right? And I've been comparing 50 Cent and Tyler Perry all of this time because while Tyler Perry has embodied television, right, and embodied theater, Curtis 50 Cent Jackson has embodied music and has embodied entertainment from two different sources, from television, from the big screen, and from music, right? So when we talk about the entertainment mountain, Curtis 50 Cent Jackson owns entertainment, right? He owns music. He owns a large operation within the entertainment mountain from two different perspectives. He's about to own a part of Hollywood as he's opening up as he's opening up his theater, but it's his film production agency, right? Where people can now have the ability to, that want to put on productions, they'll have the ability to be able to contract the services of G-Unit Films. And what a lot of people don't know is I've been following G-Unit Films behind the scenes. And here's the thing about Curtis 50 Cent Jackson is that the reason why he's able, a lot of people think the only reason why he's able to do music overseas in the way that he does is because they think that people are listening to his music. Curtis 50 Cent Jackson has been producing films in places like France for years. And I'm saying for years, like years, like 10 plus years. If you really, really do a deep dive research on Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, he has been producing films overseas for years. So he really developed his acting and directing ability overseas and then brought it to the United States and capitalized upon it. And so the reason why he has such a global footprint is because he's been operating from a global perspective for years, right? Which is one of the reasons why I've been able to relate to him, right? Because as most of you know, early on in my real estate career, I began to do business globally, overseas. And so that's that. And that's why some of the actors and actresses that you see that he pulls into the Power franchise, not all of them are American actors. And that's because he has influence beyond U.S. soil. And he's been working on that. I'm saying 10 years, but I really probably should be saying more like 20 years. He's been doing work in films in France in various locations outside of the United States. And so when I talk about the framing of narratives, when I talk about Unique and Rack, I'm saying they healing some folks, right? We need that right now in society. We need it on every perspective, inside of the culture, outside of the culture. We need to bring the value of who African-American women have been to the United States for centuries, right? And let's change the narrative on Black women just being strong, right? We're compassionate, we're lovable, we deserve love, we deserve to be honored and respected. And the children that we bring into this world are not to be used as plots and not to be used as for derogatory purposes, because we are an intelligent people that deserve honor and respect, and so do the children that we birth, right? And unfortunately, the crab mentality, we have to get beyond that. There are people in this that were sent through this earth to do very specific things. And it is okay to highlight, provide platform to, notarize, and celebrate those people without other people within the African American community feeling like that it is some sort of detriment to them, right? Let people be who they were called to be. And when you allow people to be who they were called to be in the vein of who this, the creator, right? The God that I serve has equipped them to be, they have the ability to heal even people who don't even like them, right? That's the thing when you're anointed to do things. Curtis is healing people and opening up doors for people who don't even like him, right? You have people that are doing film now that don't even really like him, don't care for his brand. But because of the excellence and the way that he has done things and all of its efficiency as an African-American media mogul, it has opened doors for people to be able to step into those same platforms. You got to let people do what they've called to do, regardless of how you feel about them. The Lord has sent them here to this planet and into this earth to do very specific things, and they deserve to be honored and respected, right? And that is why when I talked about Tyler Perry and Oprah Winfrey, I do not agree with the narratives that they position stories from, but I also understand that we see life through the lens and the perspective of our experiences, right? And so Oprah often talks about her experiences as a childhood. So as she has produced all of these movies throughout all of these years and has had this strange attraction to telling the story of slavery, somehow that has been reflective of her childhood and her need to heal from whatever took place between her and her mother, right? But in the same token, now that the information is out there and the awareness is out there, just like the reproduction of Color Purple, I think going forward, the way that they decide that the smart thing would be that the way that they decide to position their narratives would be so that it is a celebration of African-American life, the innovation and the intelligence of who we are as a people historically. Right. In addition to building up the personification of the African-American man and the African-American woman, so that we don't look weak when we're together, because thus far it feels to me like the filming of the narrative, right, that Tyler Perry has pushed is that the woman, the African-American woman, is weak in the presence of her African-American man. And what that has, I think, has been the catalyst for a lot of broken homes within the African-American family, right? Oprah did an interview the other day, and she, I think she was on the Sherry Shepherd show, and she made a comment about something about people watching her shows and deciding to leave her no good husband or something like that, something along those lines. Again, it is the lens and the perspective of which her experiences have surfaced. And it's our responsibility, right, to bring some more healthier narratives to the table. And I think it's okay for me to say that from an intellectual perspective and still honor and respect who Oprah and who Tyler Perry are to society, right? I think that's okay. I think accountability is okay. And I think that what I've said up to this point has been accountability, but still honoring and respecting who they are, because they have made some amazing accomplishments, right? And they have made it to the upper echelons of society that most African Americans don't have the ability to ascribe to. But so has Curtis Jackson, right? And the reason why I chose to carry the story of Curtis Jackson is because I think he's been able to do it while not dishonoring the parts of culture that, and I don't agree with all of the storylines and all of the writing, and he's not the writers, right? He's the director. But I don't agree with all of the storylines, right? There were some storylines where I was like, you know, when I had to visit this platform and say, there's a lack of social responsibility in there. What's wrong with the writers? They're angry. What's wrong? You know, what's going on with them, right? There was a season that I said that. And shortly after that, the writers went on strike. They were angry, right? I could see that through the narratives that they were portraying through their writing. It was almost a, like I could see from a writing perspective, I could see the writers literally crying out, like they were unhappy. There was something going on behind the scenes. And literally after I said that, shortly after, several weeks after that, there was a writer's strike, right? And so what I'm saying is that we need the Curtis Jackson to balance the Oprah Winfreys and the Tyler Perrys. We need that. We need a different perspective. Everybody doesn't have the lens and perspective of Oprah Winfrey and Tyler Perry. Not, and that's not suppressing one, and that's not promoting another, but it's saying, where is the line of demarcation for our social responsibility to our race of people as it relates to framing narratives for future generations and to escalate the African-American culture and society? And that's what I wanted to talk about today, because I've received a lot of feedback about what I've said. And so that's that. You do have the ability to support the ELA Foundation at $SALTROOM. You also have the ability to support the bakery. I always place that link. We are a specialty chocolate tier bakery. We do specialty bakery products. We're not your traditional bakery. We don't do cakes, right? Visit the website. And we mostly do things that can be characterized as candy or candy type of desserts, right? One of the things we're famous for is cheesecakes. Most of them are candy. They have some sort of candy flavor, right? Cheesecake. And we also do some candied popcorns as well. And so what else can I say? Oh, and then you have to order Outliers, a live research study on media mogul Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. His story shapes a different narrative for society in itself. And it is not just a workbook for Black people. It's a workbook for all people. And it tells it from a perspective of an African-American male who entered into the entertainment industry as a rapper and was able to transform his life into being a media mogul by following some very simple yet elevated mindsets to become who he is today. And I believe, and his life, it skews all the research about people who were raised in the environments that he was raised in, right? It skews all the research about people who existed and lived in the societies and cultures that he lived and existed in. It changes the entire narrative about what we think about people that come from where I come from and come from where Curtis Jackson comes from, and the importance of bringing my diversity and bringing Curtis Jackson's diversity, the authenticity of the diversity that we have to offer into the room. Does it shift the status quo? It changes what we see as the moderate status, right? As what we see as the standard, it absolutely, and while I understand that can be scary to some, right? Because it is changing the perspective of how we see ourselves in relation to others. But it's necessary. It's necessary, and it has the ability, if you are at the executive level within your organizations, it has the ability to increase your return on your investment for employees that you've looked over, because you felt like they were from the parts of the society that were untouchables, right? Curtis and I happen to be the untouchables, right? The reason why I've been able to achieve the things I've been able to achieve is because I've been relentless about pursuing my goals in life, right? Despite the hiccups, the reason why Curtis 50 Cent Jackson is media mogul Curtis 50 Cent Jackson is because he refused to surrender to the narratives that people wanted to surround him with because of his personal life, right? He still had something to prove professionally, that despite how you feel about me because of my personal life, I am still a large proponent in society as an intellectual and as a business individual. That is what Curtis Jackson has proven. And organizations and companies will see how they will be able to capitalize on the Curtis Jackson personalities when they begin to open up the door and open up their minds about how they see diversity. Because up until this point in society, there has been an agenda running behind closed doors about how we're going to process diversity. Outliers, a live research study on Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. I highly recommend that any individual in any decision-making role, they have to order the workbook, because it changes the narrative on how we see leadership, who we see as leaders, and those that have the ability to shift the trajectory of financial progress and stability in organizations throughout the United States and even globally, right? So I invite you to order Outliers, a live research study on Curtis 50, on media mogul Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. He doesn't like me to refer to him as as media mogul. At just about every interview he was on for the past 2 to 3 years, first thing he said is, "I am not a mogul. I'm not a mogul, because if I'm a mogul, then I have to behave and talk a certain type of way." But that's what we're doing. We're breaking the barriers on what it means to be a mogul. Right? I can be a mogul and still own my truth. And so there you have it. Live research experience, live research study on Curtis 50 Cent, media mogul Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. Order it, order it, order it. All right. I'll talk with you soon. Till we see each other again, live in the overflow. Peace.